Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Lots to cover this week. You know, there's a lot to cover every week. It seems like there's an increasing tempo. The beat of the drums is, shall we say, the rhythm is ever quickening. So we're going to be talking a little bit about what the EPA, their latest terror rampage under Obama, and it would be the same under Hillary, what they're doing to American truckers, which is going to affect your pocket. And then, as you've heard often, as I've warned, I'm gonna tell you a little bit about a obscure article that came out, you know, obviously buried by the mainstream media. Our Southern Army Command is warning of Sunni extremists infiltrating from the south. Gee, from Mexico. What a surprise on an open border. But there's some pretty interesting stuff in this. How they're getting it done, where they're coming from, which, by the way, happens to be Guatemala. Guatemala seems to be the big funnel point for folks from terrorist states getting into the United States. And, of course, the open borders that Hillary is promoting, and that Barack Obama is promoting, that all progressives are promoting, because it's not about helping the poor, downtrodden refugees and immigrants and victims of violence in Central America. Sob, sob, boo-hoo. And it's not about families. These people couldn't care less about these people coming across the border. What they are is the basic transformation of America, a transformation of our values, religions, languages, culture, and electorate. That is what this is all about. In fact, I'm sure some of you have heard the story about George Soros, you know, multi-billionaire, 85-year-old, nasty little curmudgeon, brought down the Bank of England about 20 years ago, loves to disrupt and destabilize countries after he's made a bet on their currency, so the currency falls and he picks up more loot. He contributes tens and hundreds of millions to progressive causes. Media Matter. I mean, some of the nastiest progressive websites are backed by him. Occupy Wall Street was backed by him. Black Lives Matter is backed by him. He has been a visitor to the White House on dozens of occasions. He has contributed $7 million so far to Hillary's campaign. And he was hacked. And emails have come out over the last week, literally internal emails in the Soros Progressive Organization, if you will, about how he has spent tens of millions fomenting unrest in the Mideast and promoting the immigration of Muslim refugees into Europe, open borders, and how he has spent tens of millions getting illegal aliens into the United States. Because his goal in the emails is another 10 million now illegal immigrants in the future U.S. citizen voters to cement progressive control of the American government and therefore of you and I and the values of this country. What a nice guy. I mean, the only good thing about this guy is he's 85. And, of course, Hillary wants to take, so-called refugees, mostly 18 to 24-year-old men, so-called refugees from terrorist states, and she wants to increase it by 550% from Barack Obama's, It was 10,000, now it's 65,000, you name it. Look, these people don't care about the safety of the American public. They don't care about terror, and they don't care about the refugees themselves. They care about their power, their votes, and their ideology. I mean, proof of the pudding. We're also going to be talking about some economic stuff that you haven't heard about. What's really going on with housing and new home sales, once again, totally different than what the government is reporting and what the progressives and Obama are beating themselves on the chest about how wonderful it all is, right? And we're going to be talking about, and this all goes kind of into it, but what's happening in the junk bond market. Junk bonds are bonds which carry a higher rate of interest than Class A or Class AAA or Class AA bonds. Junk bonds can be B, B minus, C, C minus, D. You know, they're all ranked according to the creditworthiness and size of the company and its cash flow and all sorts of things. Well, junk bond defaults are rising rapidly. And the last time they rose rapidly was 2008-2009. I think we all remember what happened then. It was not pretty. And the last time they rose rapidly before then was 1999-2000. That was the what they call the dot-com bubble, you know, the bust in the technical companies of the United States. And that was not pretty either. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then finally, we're going to talk about a little politics, of course. Not actually, that won't be finally. The last thing we're going to do is I'm going to end the show, as I promised last week, telling you specifically. Last week I just kind of gave you a bitter taste. I don't want to call it a taste. It was a bitter taste of the manifesto that's been published by Black Lives Matter. Their demands for reparations, investment, political power, retribution. You know, retribution, reparations, redistribution, the three watchwords of Obama, Hillary, and the progressives. I'll tell you what, some of their your eyes will pop out of your head. In a way, you won't be surprised, but hearing what they really are will shock you. You know, can you get that paradox? Anyway, that is today's show, folks. So, why don't we start with the latest rampage by the EPA, a totally out-of-control EPA, I might add. And along these lines, their new regulations once again attack the trucking industry, which they slapped around several years ago, right in the middle of nasty times, and resulted in lots of independent truckers and independent trucking firms going out of business. And now they're doing it again. Now, if truckers go out of business, I mean, truckers are kind of the lifeblood of America. Think about every time you go to a grocery store or any store, what do you see in the back of the store? You see trucks unloading produce and whatever. I mean, yes, trains can carry a lot of stuff. But a truck unloads from the train and then drives to wherever the retail outlet is, or drives to the dot-com, or drives to your house. So these regulations are not just slaps in the face to the trucking industry. Total disregard of, you know, an industry that employs hundreds of thousands. Guess what happens as there's less and less truckers, or the truckers' costs go up, trying to comply with yet more regulations by the EPA, who willfully pollutes rivers, does all sorts of dastardly ecological deeds, and is not held accountable. You know, guess who pays? We do, right? The trucking companies pass on the costs. But there's a little twist to this one. So let me tell you about what they want to do. They want all the truckers to revise their rigs, to update their rigs, to retool their engines, to even further lower those nasty greenhouse gases like CO2, which has been around the planet since it was formed about 5 billion years ago. And it's hugely expensive for these truckers to do this. Hugely expensive. I mean, the little guy, the solitary trucker who owns his own rig, and that's how he makes his living, or even the small trucking firm, maybe they got 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 trucks, you know, it's virtually impossible for them to cough up the cash, to take that cash out of cash flow. I mean, otherwise they have to borrow. Then they have the interest costs. And they pass it all on to you. Well, they pass it on to the people they truck for who pass it on to you. I mean, in the end, it's out of your pocket, isn't it? Thank you, EPA. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Hillary. Thank you, progressives. Thank you, Democratic Party. Oh, that's right. There is no Democratic Party. We have the Progressive Communist Party. Anyway, this is just last Tuesday. What fun. They've made changes in the emission standards yet again. I mean, they've only done this about 5 times in 10 years. And this would affect big rigs, semi-trucks, large work trucks, vans, buses, you name it. Okay, so it's also going to increase costs for municipalities, for states. Guess what's going to happen, guys? Your taxes are going to go up. It all comes out of your pocket. The only place the government has for revenues is your property or your pocket. Period. All right. And what they're going to do... Yes. Oh, you'll love this. So, this is how concerned they are about the environment, really. The EPA has said, because they really care about these poor little truckers and these independent trucking firms and, ooh, my. And because they really don't care about the environment. I mean, this has nothing to do with the environment. It has to do with control of transportation. But what you can do if you're a little trucker, you got your rig or you got a company with a couple rigs, you don't have to comply. You can just pay a fine. It's kind of like Obamacare. You don't have to buy the insurance. You just have to pay $2,000 a year. How many of you listening have had that little slap on the wrist from the IRS? Isn't that fun? From the president who promised us that policies would go down $2,500. Hell, you don't even have a policy and you're spending $2,000. I mean, you can't believe a word any of these people say. Not a friggin' word. We're going to talk about that a little bit later as we get into politics. And Hillary and her new email foundation, whatever, scandal, pay for play, bribery, treason, however you want to term it. Anyway, this kind of ties in with a lawsuit, by the way, tightening of the noose around the neck of the trucking industry. This ties into a lawsuit that was just filed this week, and this is serious, by a group called Wild Earth Protectors. Wild Earth Protectors. Oh. You know, I kind of thought as a rancher, taking care of the land, making sure it flourishes, supporting all sorts of waterfowl, wildlife, vegetative communities, you know, creating all sorts of resource improvements. We're just completing another big livestock pond up on the mountain. I thought that's what we did. No, I guess we don't do that. And I guess the biggest thing that contributes to greenhouse gas is all that nasty CO2 that's been around for 5 billion years and ozone and stuff. 10%, according to this group, the Wild Earth Protectors, 10% comes from oil and gas leasing by the federal government. Wow. That's amazing. 10% of the ozone and CO2 pollution on the planet comes from the leasing of federal lands in the United States all by itself by oil and gas companies. Now, you know, I'm not a scientist. I'm just poor old rancher here in Wyoming. Just a little hayseed stuck out in the middle of nowhere. chewing on my grass stem and smoking my corn cob pipe. But somehow, that's not a 2 plus 2 that equals 4. It's not a water that runs downhill, and it makes no friggin' common sense at all. Of course, almost nothing those people, the progressives, or the extreme greenie movement, nothing they do makes sense to us. It makes total sense to them, given what their end game plan is. Which, by the way, is not the betterment of quality of life for you and I. So the Wild Earth Protectors, I think this ties right into the trucking thing. The Wild Earth Protectors have sued to block, halt, delay, make more costly 400 leases by the Bureau of Land Management that were just very recently done to dozens, maybe scores of oil and gas companies, many of them small outfits, again, right? And they want to block all these leases because in their world, the federal lands comprising hundreds of millions of acres in the United States should be off limits to anything to do with fossil fuels. Now, you know, I'm going to sneeze here. Excuse me. Excuse me. You know, it assumes me. It appears to me that I wonder what these people would do if a big wind-generating plant wanted to build a huge power line from the wind generation across a pristine area. You know, those power lines, those towers, are 400 feet high. 400 feet high. And they are spaced approximately every 1,300 feet. That's a little over a quarter of a mile. And you have to build a road, of course, to government standards, into each site to access it for maintenance. Now think about a line 400, 500, 600 miles long down through the Rockies and pristine areas and in Montana and Wyoming and Idaho. You know, that's going on right now, folks. Now, are these people, do you think these people will file a lawsuit to block that? Do you think there's any of that nasty CO2 or that nasty ozone? You think any of that is generated by the construction of this line, the maintenance of this line? The manufacture of all the materials like rubber and synthetics and, you know, lining for the power lines and all that kind of stuff? Yeah, I would say so too. Yeah, my producer's nodding. Yep. And, you know, I don't think there'd be a lawsuit over it, would there? So it kind of belies their whole premise, does it not? Anyway, that's a very serious lawsuit. We'll see what happens. I am not familiar with the court that it's in front of or the judge. I would imagine since they filed the lawsuit, they tried to find the most progressive, most liberal judge they could. We shall see what happens. And that brings us back, by the way, to the Supreme Court. And what might happen if it gets that far and Hillary Clinton has appointed the justices? Not a good thing. There goes our energy independence. There goes our national security. And there goes your wallet, folks. Yep, right back to your wallet. It always comes back to your wallet with these folks, you know. A while ago, I did a show. And I forget the title of it. You might be able to bring it up in the search bar by typing in, perhaps less than 100 in their accounts or something like that. I can't promise, but I'm going to give you a couple. I'm going to re-give you a couple stats here. Remember how the progressives and Hillary and Barry and Valerie and Harry and Nancy, all our favorite people on the planet, remember how they've been beating their chest about how wonderful this economy is, and I've been giving you the facts rather than their unfactual, in fact, contrary to facts, rhetoric. In fact, contrary to their own government reporting, right? 4.9% unemployment that Barry jumps up and down about. If you go to the Labor Department and look under U6, you'll see it's nowhere near 4.9%. It's way higher. That's his own government website, which, of course, you know, the mainstream media doesn't bother to check or report on. I'm going to give you some quick stats which kind of lead into these next two short segments before we get into politics and Black Lives Matter manifesto. Okay, 24.8% of Americans have less than $100 in their accounts. 23.8% of Americans have between $101 and $500 in their accounts. 7.7% of Americans have between $501 and $1,000 in their accounts. Now, I'm going to keep going here, but just to sum up those last three statistics, that is like 56% of all Americans have less than $1,000 in their accounts, folks. 49%, 49.2 or 6, whatever it is, 49% have less than $500 in their accounts. I want you to think about that. And perhaps some of you listening are in those groups. And if you are, I hope things turn around for you. I hope you are working your butt off to better yourself. I hope you are taking advantage of the opportunities to make yourself great in whatever field you want to be in, whatever heartfelt desire you have, while that opportunity still exists, because the progressives would like to wipe it out. And to continue, 16.4% of Americans have between $1,000 and $1 and $5,000 in their accounts. Now, as we all know, you want to kind of keep a reserve of somewhere between 3 and 6 months minimum of your living expenses, food, insurance, fuel, mortgage payment, utilities. I mean, that should be your safety cushion. And the rest of it, you know, you invest. If you have $1,000 to $5,000 in your accounts, I'm not sure that $5,000 would even take care of a single person, never mind a family, a single person, their rent, their, you know, I just don't think it would happen. I just don't think you'd get a 6 month reserve out of that. So now we have 70%, over 70% of Americans have between $100 in their accounts to $5,000 in their accounts, or far less than a 6 month reserve to have some feeling of security and have some extra cash left to invest and better yourself. Only 27.3% of Americans, folks, have more than $5,000 in their accounts. And then, you know, it gets into very rarefied percentages of $50,000 in your accounts or $100,000 in your accounts or whatever. Now, against that backdrop, and us being told how great the economy is, by the way. I mean, 56% of your people have less than 5,000, excuse me, 56% of your people have less than $1,000 in their accounts. 49% of your people have less than $500 in their accounts. But this economy is just rocking. It's never been better. It's the longest peacetime expansion and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it makes you want to puke. And you know what? What's really scary is 50% of the country at least just laps it up. I mean, their mindless little brain cells just suck in this devious, venomous, intentional distortion of the truth like it was Kool-Aid or cotton candy. Against that backdrop, You've also been told by the government that housing is back. I mean, you can read it in all the media. Housing is back and blah, blah, blah. And there are some hot housing markets. Denver, Colorado, hot as a pistol. Certain places in the Northeast, hot as a pistol. I mean, you put a house on the market, it's probably going to be under contract if it's reasonably priced within a week. In some places, within a day. Some places have multiple offers. But these places are the exception rather than the rule, folks. You hear about them, and one locality like Denver is touted, but they don't tell you what's going on in Detroit, where literally you can't give away a house in some cases for $100. You can't give away a house for $100. Now let me give you the real stats, because recently, like in the last week, the mainstream media was jumping up and down, and the markets were jumping up and down because we're having a housing boom. And that housing boom includes new construction. And, oh, my God, we're at record new construction levels, and everything is hunky-dory, and vote for Hillary because it'll be more of the same of this wonderful stuff. Let me tell you the truth. Last Tuesday's new home figures were the highest since October 2007. I think we all know what happened in August of 2007, like, you know, the financial foundation of the world just about collapsed. However, permits for new single-family dwellings in July, which is a leading indicator of future construction, right? You got to pull a permit to build in the future. We're down 6.1% from 2015. And that's despite 10 to 20% gains over the last several years. However, everything is relative, folks. David Stockman, who used to be one of Reagan's economic advisors and a big economic guru, quote, "Moreover, the fact that even the housing recovery is reaching exhaustion is especially telling. That's because it never really recovered from the thundering crash of 2008 to 2010 in the first place. In fact, folks, this will startle the hell out of you after all the crapola that you've been fed by the mainstream media and the lying progressives of every ilk, size, color, and location around the United States. Last month's new housing figure was lower than the levels of 1960, that's 1960. Lower than the levels of more than 50, almost 60 years ago. And at that time, the United States population was 44%, almost 50% smaller than it is now. Thanks again to the immigration policies, or lack thereof. There's a chart that they publish. In 1970, new construction, and listen, it's cyclical. New construction goes up and down. There's recessions and high interest rates and low. I mean, it's just part of biz. But in 1970, to kind of tell you what's really going on now relative to historical terms, new construction peaked at about a million, just about a million two units, million one. And just before 1980, or right after 1980, it peaked at about a million two. In the mid-80s, 86, 87, etc., it peaked at about a million one. That's the number of new housing starts each year. And then, of course, when it went crazy, right before the huge housing crash, which is always what happens when you have a bubble, it got up to a million, over a million six units, almost a million, 1.8 million new housing units per year. And then, of course, came the crash. And it sank all the way down to under 400,000 units a year. And, you know, all this hoopla and fanfare and crap that they're feeding you, you know what it's back up to? 600,000. That's what the markets were crowing about. New housing starts are back up to 600,000. They forgot to tell you it's below 1960 levels, and it's one-third of the peak in 2000. So, them's the facts, Jack. Which brings us to the next one, which is junk bonds. Now, junk bonds are a very important form of corporate financing for small to medium companies who can't go out into the main bond market. They're not AAA rated like Exxon. Well, actually, Exxon got downgraded. AA rated like Exxon or, you know, IBM or Apple or whatever. I mean, these are small companies. They want to take out bonds because the interest rates are much lower, the terms much softer than a bank, and they have much more latitude in their repayment. And also they have the ability to maybe maybe convert them to stock or whatever down the road. In any event, another kind of warning here, which also ties into, 47%+ of the population having less than $500 in their accounts. Defaults on junk bonds are way, 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 way up. As of the end of August, 113 companies had defaulted on their debt so far this year. That matches the total number of defaulting companies in 2015. It was And the defaulting rate in that month period was 57% higher than a year ago. So the last time junk bond defaults were this high was 2009. Oh, what was happening in 2000? Oh, that's right, the Great Recession. So we have a little warning coming now. By the way, Standard & Poor's, one of the big credit rating agencies for bonds, projects that the default rate is going to hit 5.6% by June of 2017. That is really high, folks, really high. And by the way, less than 60%, about 55 to 57% of the defaults are oil and gas companies. In other words, there's lots of companies out there that are not oil and gas who have been struggling with low oil and gas prices. Although our friends, Wild Protectors of the Earth or Wild Earth Protectors, I'm sure they'll take care of that. There's a lot of companies of a lot of different ilks in trouble. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And that's because when you have 50% of your population, 47% of your population, with less than $500 in the bank accounts, they can't buy anything. I mean, this is basic, common economic sense. All right. Let's get into politics. First of all, the mainstream media is running around. Hillary's 10 points ahead, and this poll and that poll. Well, if you dig into the numbers, or you dig into the polling companies, you find out that all the polls that are being cited, virtually all the polls that are being cited, are like progressive polling companies. Of course they're going to show Hillary ahead. When you sample 1,000 people and 900 are Democrats, gee, I wonder how the poll's going to come out. Duh. When you make a sample of a poll and you pull everybody, even though you don't pay attention to what, quote-unquote, political affiliation they may have, you pull everybody from Chicago or New York, I bet you Hillary's going to be ahead. Duh! But another poll came out. Several have come out. Here's the most trustworthy. I mean, they're a good polling outfit. This is a Los Angeles Times USC, that's University of Southern California, Daybreak tracking poll. Now, the Los Angeles Times ain't a conservative paper, folks. And University of Southern California, I think we can all agree, is a very left institution. Nonetheless, because they did the sampling properly and fairly, guess what? Mr. Trump is not behind Ms. Hillary by 10 points. Rather, he has a one-point lead, 44.6 to 43.5%. I found that really interesting. I found what the in digging into the poll, you got to kind of dig into the foundation of the statistics. I found the rest of this information really interesting, too. Trump's support is mostly from voters aged 35 to 64, and his next best support are voters over 65. Clinton gets most of her support from the 18 to 34 bunch. Trump is way ahead with voters with a high school degree or less, or folks who have gone to some college. Clinton is ahead with those who have graduated college or pursued master's or doctorate degrees, which just goes to prove a point I've often made, that education does not create intelligence or common sense. I rest my case. So I guess you can be a lying, thieving, corrupt, treasonous, self-centered, narcissistic, greedy, power-hungry babe, and that appeals to the college educated in this country. Terrific. And of course, Clinton has a significant lead in minority voters, blacks, Latinos, etc., etc. Although, this poll would suggest it's not as big as they say. I mean, when you hear progressives on the radio or TV, they're always talking about, oh, only 1% of blacks support Trump. Actually, in this poll, it's 14.6%, which is up several percentage points. That means that Mr. Trump's theories are starting to get through. And well, they should, because the progressives have kept blacks on the plantation quite purposefully, dependent, you know, vote for me and I will take care of you. I mean, how insulting is that? That is slavery. That is electorate and economic slavery. As sure as the slavery that the Democrats were involved in and supported, but now decry from years ago. So I found that I found these stats really interesting. I thought I would share that poll. In terms of politics, you know, Hillary Clinton, if you remember about 10 days ago, she was yelling at Donald Trump about him being divisive, or as she says, divisive, about him being divisive and pitting one against the other, which, of course, you got to remember, progressives follow Saul Alinsky's handbook. You got to remember she did her thesis on Saul Alinsky, Handbook for Radicals, and loves him. You know, he always says, blame the other side for what you do. In other words, if you are divisive, you call the other side divisive. Divisive. Oh my God, I'm talking like Hillary. Somebody shoot me. I'm sure there's some who would like to. In any event, Hillary's having a bad time. I think you're going to see these polls starting to even up. I mean, even some of the polling companies who lean progressive. Trump has now moved up to within 4 or 5 points of her in the last week. Trump's doing a much better job. His new campaign staff, I think, is tightening the ropes on them, which, by the way, the Democrats know, which is one of the reasons they're attacking the new campaign staff as Nazis and racists and et cetera. But did you hear Hillary come out this week about, you know, how he's a racist and how he's this and how he's that and, you know, whatever? This is the same woman, which you couldn't be more divisive. by calling somebody a racist and trying to stir one race against another. I mean, I don't think you can go much beyond that in terms of dividing the country, which, of course, Barack Obama has done quite purposely for 8 years. I think a lot of black folks out there, I don't know how many listen to me. I know there's some because I get some emails. And you know, I talk to black people often during the book stuff. I mean, either they're in the Barnes & Noble and I get to talk to them as they're buying one of my books, or looking at the books, or I run into them at conferences, writers' conferences, etc. And, you know, I really do think they're beginning to get it. They're beginning to get that 50 years of Democratic rule, including the last 8 years by the first black president, has not only not helped them, they are far worse off than they were before. You know, Donald Trump kind of famously asked in the last week in one of his speeches, he's talking to black people, and he went down the list of problems they've had under Obama and Hillary, etc. And he said, why don't you try something new? What the hell do you have to lose? First of all, it's a great line. Hillary came back a few days ago and said, you have everything to lose. And if I was Donald Trump, I'd come right back and say, Hillary is exactly right. You have everything to lose. You have your fear of walking down the sidewalk and not getting mugged, shot, or being a victim of crime to lose. You have your unemployment status to lose. You have your dependency status to lose. You have your inability to get a good education because Democrats won't give you a choice of schools because they're supported by the teachers' union to lose. So I agree with Hillary. You have everything to lose. And you got to lose it before you gain it. That's how I would approach it. And that kind of segues nicely into our last segment, Black Lives Matter. BLM, as it's called, and we don't mean the Bureau of Land Management. So, they published a manifesto. This was, I think, week before last. I talked about it and promised you to bring you stuff to give you more details on this. So, let's start, shall we? Because this is amazing. And I'm just going to summarize, because otherwise we could spend like 10 days on this, puking. What they call invest, divest. Reallocation of funds at the federal, state, and local level from policing and incarceration to long-term safety strategies, education, local restorative justice services, and employment programs. Retroactive decriminalization, immediate release and record expungement of all drug-related offenses and prostitution. And reparations, there's one of our R words, one of the three R words, and reparations for the devastating impact, I'm reading, by the way, from the manifesto. The devastating impact of the war on drugs. Wow. So we're going to pay reparations for the war on drugs and criminalization of prostitution. All right. Universal health care that guarantees, you know, comprehensive health centers, culturally competent services, blah, 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 blah. Specific services for queer, I don't think that's politically correct, BLM, for queer, gender nonconforming, and trans people. They actually said that. I didn't realize that. For queer people. I guess BLM is not PC. Full bodily autonomy. Full reproductive services. I think that includes abortions. Mental health services. Paid parental leaves. And comprehensive quality child and elder care. And then a constitutional right, state and federal, to a fully funded education. Okay. Divestment from industrial multinational use of fossil fuels. Investment in community-based sustainable energy. Really? this is a Black Lives Matter concern? You don't think this group is a product of Soros' money and infiltration by the extreme left? Wow. Cut military expenditures. Financial support of black alternative institutions, cooperatives, land trusts, and culturally responsible health infrastructure. And then, of course, we want economic justice. A restructuring of the tax codes at the local, state, and federal level to ensure a radical and sustainable redistribution of wealth. How do you like that? There's your second R, the redistribution. Reparations, redistribution, and, you know, revenge. Federal and state job programs that target the most economically marginalized black people. A right to restored land, clean air, clean water, and housing. Wow. An end to the exploitive privatization of natural resources. In other words, the end of private property, folks. The right for workers to organize in public and private sectors. In other words, unions. Break up the large banks. Stop the intolerance of school policies and the arrest of students. Remove police from the schools. An end to capital punishment. An end to money bail, mandatory fines, fees, court surcharges. An end to the war on black, trans, queer. There's that word again. Black, trans, queer, and gender nonconforming people. An end to surveillance in black communities. The demilitarization of law enforcement. An end to privatization of police, prisons, jails, probation, etc. Reparations. Oh, one of the R words. Ooh. Reparations for the systemic denial of access to high-quality educational opportunities in the form of full and free access for all black people, including, you'll love this, undocumented and currently and formerly incarcerated people. In other words, illegal aliens. We're not going to pay the educational expense for illegal aliens. That's a great idea. Now, if these fools understood economics at all, they'd realize that illegal aliens are taking their jobs. Now they want to train them to be even more competitive with the black community? That's terrific. Using the black community's money, by the way, those in the black community and those of us in the white community and other communities who pay taxes. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Lifetime education. Free access and open admissions to public community colleges and universities. Technical education, free of course. Educational support programs. Retroactive forgiveness of all student loans. Support for lifetime training. Okay. You'll love this. Also, some more reparations for you. Guaranteed minimum livable income for all black people. Now, does that mean while you're going to your free school? Or does that mean while you're getting your welfare check because you're not working? I don't know. Should be interesting. Reparations for the wealth extracted from our communities through environmental racism. Environmental racism. Slavery. I didn't realize slavery still existed. Food apartheid. In other words, I guess we're starving them. Housing discrimination. I guess nobody has a roof. And racialized capitalism. That's right. Racialized capitalism. Okay. And they want it paid for it by the corporate and government reparations. Oh, man. Now we have reparations for the cultural and educational exploitation, erasure, and extraction of our communities. My, oh, my. My, oh, my. Reparations, yes. Now they want community control. Community control. Direct democratic. I don't think this group is very democratic. Direct democratic community control. Well, we can just be community organizers. Of local, state, and federal law enforcement. Wow. So, let's see if I get this right. So, the South Side of Chicago, where you have umpty-ump murders, that community is going to control the police, the FBI, and the state police. Okay. Got it. No problem. No more privatization of education. In other words, take away choice from people. No charter schools. It all has to be public so that teachers' union can benefit. Do you understand how all these groups are tied in, these leftist groups financed by Soros and his Inc. and his ilk? Public financing of elections. I would bet that they would exclude union financing from that. What would you want to bet? They don't talk about it. And, you know, they go on and they go on and they go on. They have another section here, political power. An end to the criminalization of black political activity. Wow. I didn't realize black political activity resulted in jail time. I had no idea. How can Jesse Jackson and Farrakhan and Sharpton, how can they be out? Are they out on bail? All right. Public financing of elections, they have that there twice. Election protection, electoral expansion, and the right to vote, including, by the way, for 16-year-olds and undocumented. Gee, that must be the Soros influence, eh? All right. I think you get the idea. The bottom line is Black Lives Matter, the outfit that walks down the streets talking about what do we want, dead cops, when do we want them now, you know, fry them like bacon, blah, 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 who were tangentially responsible, at the least, for the assassination / execution of those five poor cops in Dallas and the wounding of, I think it was, eight others. So this group, who pretends to be about Black Lives Matter, Black Lives, has every communist, Saul Alinsky, George Soros-funded, left-wing, against private property, for reparations, for redistribution. I mean, they're open about it. And you think this is about black lives? Really? All right. And this is the group that Hillary panders to and Barack Obama has had to the White House a dozen occasions or whatever. And Barry and Pillory call Donald Trump racist? Whoo, man. And I'll tell you what the real whoo man is. 50% of the country believes it. That's a scary deal. That's the end of this show. There's a lot more to come next week. I got some gangbusters. There's more going on with more mysterious deaths in the I used to know Hillary before I was dead club. We're going to talk about that next week. We're also going to be talking some more about terror and infiltration along our borders and why the left, in its own way, kind of welcomes terror. Never let a crisis go to waste. And I'm sure we're going to have some political stuff to talk about. And we're definitely going to talk about what a Trump or Hillary election might mean for your family finances, and your family's safety. And one of the things I'm going to do next week, because it's very unclear, I'm going to go over Trump's platform, the 20 or 22 things he wants to accomplish as president. And when I'm done, I think you're going to scratch your head and go, wow. I agree with all of them, or I agree with 19 of the 22, or, wow, there's four or five great ideas in there I didn't think about. I mean, I'm in touch with this stuff, and I had that reaction to some of his policy plans. So that's next week. In the meantime, folks, this is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.